Thank you, Pastor. This is probably the fastest I've ever gotten up before, so I'm excited. Take your Bibles. You have your Bibles today? Wave them up in the air, aren't you? Thank you. Wave them at Satan's face today. Amen. I hope you're glad you got the Word of God. We're thrilled to be here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We have enjoyed everything. I think what I've enjoyed the most, though, was yesterday morning's breakfast. It was amazing. And all the meals have been really good, and we've just enjoyed the fellowship with each one of you. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm going to, Lord willing, utilize the time that God has given to me this morning in a mighty way. Now, one thing that we all have in common, and that is we all have a past. But I have been learning in ministry now for 39 years, a lot of people don't know how to handle their past. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager in here, you have a past. Doesn't matter if you're a senior saint, you have a past. Every one of us have a past. Well, how you handle your past is going to greatly affect your future. That's right. It's going to greatly affect where you go and what happens. Most of the counseling that I do, I realize people are not handling their past right. Now, some of you got a great past. You look back over your life, one memorial, one victory after another. Maybe you're a young person, God has blessed your life, and you say, hey, I'm 17 years old, 18 years old, 23 years old, and man, I've had a great life. Boy, God's just been really good. You still got to know how to handle that past. Or otherwise, you tend to live in yesterday's victories and never move forward onto things. There's people in this room that have had things happen in their past that are just really tough. But I'm going to share with you today something that the Lord gave me about a year and a half ago. And I'm going to tell you when I got it that the Lord really hit me. But I've entitled this message, I Don't Live There Anymore. I Don't Live There Anymore. I want you to see Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Now, these are two really big verses for me, and I'm going to tell you why. About 11 years ago, we left a place we had been for 31 years. For 31 years, I'd been in Pensacola, Florida. I went down to college there, to Pensacola Christian College, was there for 4 years, traveled 2 years as a college representative for PCC, then became the youth pastor of the campus, and then pastored for 18 years at the campus church. And during those 31 years, we had so many great memories. But towards the end, we really sensed that the Lord was moving us on. That our days at Pensacola were done. We didn't leave because there was any problems. Matter of fact, the church was larger than it had ever been. We were reaching more in the community than we ever had. Our television telecast that we had was reaching further than it had ever reached before. I was comfortable. I was like a celebrity in Pensacola. I couldn't go to an Albertsons. I couldn't go anywhere. Aren't you Brother Shetler? Oh, it was a great place to serve. We loved the college students, but we sensed God was moving us. We sensed the Lord was telling us to take a step of faith. And sure enough, on May, I think it was 14th of 2006, Marilee and I decided it was time, and we resigned. We'd made the decision a few weeks before that, but we resigned on that day. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know where God had called us. We just really sensed that our days at Pensacola were done. And God was going to take us on a journey of faith. Well, I will tell you, I look back at that past with great memories. But I will also tell you, the last 11 years of our life have been an amazing life and steps of faith of what God has done. Well, we traveled kind of in a way like evangelism for about several months looking for a church. A lot of churches didn't have pastors. We would come, and they said, hey, would you come back to candidate? And we just didn't really feel led. But there was a church in California in a place called Santa Maria, California. Let me tell you one thing about Santa Maria. It is absolutely weather-wise, climate-wise, the greatest place on planet Earth. It never gets hotter than 85, never gets colder than about 50. Everything on planet Earth grows in Santa Maria Valley. You can have bananas and you can have peaches. It's an amazing place. We produce 20% of all strawberries on planet Earth come out of Santa Maria Valley. If you ever have a Driscoll strawberry, it probably came from Santa Maria. So it's a beautiful place to live. And the weather was great. And there was a church there. And it had a large Christian school. And the church was kind of going through some struggles or whatever. But we went there and we decided to go back to candidate. So then we candidated. And then they said they were going to vote on us in 2 weeks. Well, in those next 2 weeks, I had to make some decisions. Well, Lord, if they vote on us as being pastors, is this where we need to go? I've always allowed God's word to guide me in making major decisions in my life. I was doing a week of meetings in a place called Gainesville, Georgia, and it was Saturday night, the night before First Baptist Church of Santa Maria was going to vote on us as pastor. That night I prayed and I said, you know, Lord, I just don't have peace yet. I need something from your word. The next morning I woke up and I was reading in Isaiah. And that Sunday morning, November 17th, I believe, 2006, I read this in my devotions. And it was exactly what the Lord knew I needed. That Sunday morning, this is in the Eastern Standard Time, so this is before Santa Maria, First Baptist had even wakened. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, it says this. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I read that verse and it was just as if the Lord spoke to my heart and just like, hey, don't look at the past, Jim. You're never going to find a place like Campus Church again. You're never going to go to a place like Pensacola. It's remember not ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. That part of your life is done, Jim. Then I go to verse 19. It says this, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I remember when my wife and I went out to candidate at Santa Maria, she said, Jim, if God calls us here, I feel like he's calling us to the wilderness of California. When I read that verse that morning, I knew the Lord had called us to First Baptist of Santa Maria. And I knew that the things of the past, we weren't going to live there anymore. We were going to go forward. And boy, what a life it's been in these last 11 years. Whether your past is good or whether your past is bad, you've got to learn how to deal with your past. I don't know if you normally write notes in Sunday school, but since we're in Sunday school, I want to give you 5 reasons why we should forget a bad past. And then 5 reasons why we should and how we can use our past, whether it's good or bad, in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Lord, talk about past. There's hardly an independent Baptist church in America that has the past that this church has. But this church needs to know how to handle that past. And Father, I pray that I'm sure there are individuals, as I look out, there looks like there's a lot of mature believers here. They need to know how to handle their past. Father, we could fill this auditorium up with memories of heartache and tragedy. We could fill this auditorium up with memories of joy and excitement and blessing and victory. But Father, teach us today what to do with our past. Some of us have things that we keep bringing in every day of our life. We've just never gotten through. There's others, Father, that are just locked to something that occurred, good or bad, in the past. They've never been able to move on from it. Father, I pray, your word seems so, there's just so many things about the past. Lord, teach us today how to handle a memorial. Teach us today how to forgive. Teach us today that no matter what it is in the past, we don't live there anymore. Father, we're thankful for the future and the blessed hope we have in Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today that does not have the blessed hope of the future in Christ, may they deal with their past at Calvary. Get it nailed. Get all of their sins of the past, present, and even their future taken care of today. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. We had a great, victorious conference Friday night, Saturday, but now we got to move on from that. So, Lord, I pray today you'll give us principles from your word that'll help us the rest of our lives. We pray these things in the one name that dealt with our past on the cross and the one name that is truly our hope for the future. We pray these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's children said, a year and a half ago, I was doing a camp up in Michigan, a place called Camp Kobiak, and I came in early. It was a Saturday that I flew into Detroit Metro Airport. Well, I was born and raised in Detroit. Hadn't been back in Detroit for a few years and hadn't been back in my old neighborhood for probably 15, 20 years. And I thought to myself, you know what? I got the rental car. I got some time. I'm all by myself. I'm going to go back to the old neighborhood in Bloomfield Hills. So I got the rental car, left Metro Airport, and I began the drive, about 45 minutes back into the old area, the old community, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, northern suburb of Detroit. Then I came into Brookfield Highlands, the neighborhood I grew up in. And then I got on Ogden Drive, and I started to drive down, and man, my mind was just busting of all kinds of memories of riding a bicycle, doing this and doing that. And about a quarter mile down Ogden Drive, I stopped the car, and I looked over to my right, and there was the house I had lived in for 14 years. Man, well, I hadn't seen it in years. It'd probably been about 20 years or so since I'd seen that house. The trees were huge. And I looked at that and I just said, wow. I'm 60 years old now. I was looking at that house and remembering when I was a kid and what I did here and what I did there. I came from a kind of a bad family background, very abusive. My mom and dad got a divorce when I was 14. That's why we moved from the house. Catholic background. We got saved when I was 12. My mom got saved. My dad didn't for 25 years. I got to lead my dad to the Lord 25 years later. But you know, just a lot of things. I can remember as I parked there, I can remember my mom and dad fighting. All the arguments they used to have and the embattlement of and just as a little kid. The things I went through. But then I remembered a lot of great things. I had a great childhood. We were in a new subdivision. I can remember playing in all these homes when they were being built and all the things. It just flooded my mind. And I sat there in that car for about 20 minutes. It didn't seem like one car went by. Probably some did. I didn't even know if I even noticed it. But I sat there for about 20 minutes just kind of reliving my whole childhood. And then I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or whatever, but it was a very firm voice in my heart just said, Jim, you don't live there anymore. That's not your home. 2552 Ogden Drive, you don't live there anymore. You haven't lived there for 40-some years. That's not your house. Shetler, let's go forward. Let's not live in the past, whether they were good memories or bad memories. I had all kinds of memories. Jim, you don't live there anymore. Now, let me tell you, folks, some of you are living in the past. By the way, you that are over 50 years of age, we don't live in the same country, do we? We don't live in the same country. Now, we can sit here and suck our thumb. And we can say, oh, America. Let me tell you something. We better start living in the country we live in. And we better start responding to the country that we live in. We don't live in the same America of the 50s, the 60s, whatever. It's not the same it's not the same country. We better come to grips with that. Some of you had some great victories in your past, and you just have never moved on from them. You still are living in the good old days, which really aren't as good as you remember them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Some of you have had some things happen in your life, in your marriage, in your childhood that are just terrible. It wouldn't surprise me there's people in here that maybe have been molested. It wouldn't surprise me that there's been some divorces that are represented in here. There's some things that you could be bitter about and you can't move on. Let me share with you a few things today that I pray will help you. First thing I want to talk about is five reasons we should forget a bad past. Why should we move on from a bad past? Number one, this is great. Number one, there is no scriptural basis to remember a bad past. You cannot give me one Bible verse in the entire Bible that teaches that if you've had something bad happen to you, you're supposed to live there. You're supposed to dwell on that. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the Bible does say. Here's the verse I put down next to that. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke 9, 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't look back. You know, I think of my son. I have three boys. All three of them are in the ministry today. My youngest son was quite a high school athlete in Santa Maria. He got all-star things. He was a Santa Maria athlete in football, in basketball, and in baseball. And a lot of people kept on saying to him, you're going to go follow that? You're going to get a scholarship? And he wasn't going to get a big scholarship anywhere. He could have probably played some small college in all three of those sports. But you know, Drew said this. He said, you know, Dad, I don't really care about sports anymore. Sports was his life from 7th grade all the way through 12th grade. But he said, you know what, Dad? It's kind of like I'm done with that. And God was working in his heart about doing something for the Lord. Listen what it says. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back, man. If you're going to do anything for God, you got to go forward. The Bible does not tell you to relive it, reopen it, or revisit it. If you've got something in your past that's just terrible, something that was just horrific that occurred, where in the Bible does it tell you to relive it? Where in the Bible does it tell you to reopen it? Where in the Bible does it tell you to revisit it? And yet some of you think about it every day of your life. There is no scriptural basis. Number two, you cannot go forward and backward at the same time. You cannot go forward and backward at the same time. You cannot be going forward for the Lord while you're going backwards. You cannot live in the past and go forward at the same time. Now, since we're dealing with this topic, many of you thought like, well, I can't believe he didn't start with Philippians. And we're all familiar with that passage, so here's where I put it right here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know the next phrase? Everyone together. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot go forward and backwards at the same time. So you got to decide. What are you going to do today, Buffalo Ridge Baptist? You going forward today or you going backwards today? But you can't do both at the same time. This church is either going forward or you're going backwards. You as a family are either going forward or you're going backwards. But you're not staying the same. And you cannot do both at the same time. What are you doing today, young person? What are you doing today, senior saint? Are you going forward or are you going backwards? I'm going to tell you, you don't live there anymore. You can't go forward and backward at the same time. Number three, this is a good one. Why should we not go back to a bad past, Brother Shetler? I'm going to tell you why. Number three, we don't remember the past right. We don't remember the past right. I love this passage in Exodus 15, verse 3. It says this, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Okay. Hey, Jews, let me just tell you something. You never sat by the flesh pots when you were in Egypt, okay? But you know what? We tend not to remember the past right. We tend to be, I even put some things down with this. We tend to be subjective and we tend to be selective. And when we begin to try to remember the past, now I have to tell you about Marilee and I. My wife and I have been married for 38 years. She is absolutely my best friend, and Marilee and I are not alike in anything. I mean, we are as different as you can get, and it makes us to be a great couple. I love her. I love being around her. But it's so funny when we remember a past story. Now, see, I'm kind of Mr. Positive and everything like that, and you know, and I go like, "Oh, Marilee, do you remember when da 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 da?" And she says, "That's not what it was like, Jim." "Oh yeah, no. She said, "Jim, what about da 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 da?" "Well, I don't remember that." Isn't it amazing the way a wife remembers a story and the way a husband remembers a story? You know what? We don't tend to remember the past right. So because we're subjective and selective, we need to go forward. Number four. How about this one, folks? "Brother Shetler, I just can't move on." Well, let me tell you the fourth reason why you shouldn't be living in the past. You can't change the past. You can't do anything about it. Why are you living in a place you can't do anything about? Okay, so this happened in your life. Okay, so this was a terrible thing that occurred. You can't change the past. I'll tell you the one I love with this. I love the story of Joseph. Now Joseph, oh boy, now there's a guy that could have lived in his past. He could have sat there and he could have sucked his thumb the whole time. God put him down into a pit, allowed his brothers to throw him in the pit. He was sold as a slave. He gets in Potiphar's house. He's lied about in Potiphar's house. I mean, it's one thing bad after another. I always think the hardest time of Joseph's life, though, was the 2 years he was in the prison, and there's no scripture about it. He was just kind of left there. Now, he could have been thinking about, oh, remembered the coat. He could remember what position his dad had given him. He could remember his brother Benjamin. He could remember all those things, but he doesn't do that. He could have gotten bitter. He could have just sulked. And then one day they said, "Hey, Joseph, the butler remembered you, man. Come on up. You're gonna interpret Pharaoh's dream." And he interprets Pharaoh's dream. You know the story. "Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 good years. You're going to have 7 bad years. You better get somebody to run this whole thing during the 7 good years so you're stored up." Pharaoh says, "I can't think of anyone better than you, Joseph. You go ahead and do it." So now Joseph is taken to this incredible heights and position. And I love this. He's given an Egyptian bride. By the way, Joseph is the best human picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. It is unbelievable the comparisons between Joseph and Jesus. And so Joseph is given an Egyptian bride. That's us, folks, a Gentile bride. And so then they have children. Now get this. This is so cool. So they have twins. And the two boys are being presented to Joseph for his naming them. And they bring it out, and I'm sure there were people like, are they going to get Egyptian names or Hebrew names? Come on, you know they're going to get Hebrew names. And the two boys are brought and presented to Joseph to be named. Does anyone remember what the name Joseph gave to his firstborn son? Does anyone remember? Anyone know? I heard it. Manasseh. Manasseh. That's Danny, did you come up with that? Did you get that answer? That's because you went to West Coast. Amen. I just want to tell you, just telling you, you know. Manasseh. Do you know what Manasseh means? It means to forget my toil. The very first son that Joseph gets is, I'm naming this boy about my past because I don't live there anymore. I don't live in the promised land anymore. I don't live with my brothers anymore. I don't live with my dad anymore. And he takes that first son and he says, Manasseh. By the way, the second one's got a great name too. Ephraim means fruitful, bountiful. God, now listen, I'm forgetting my past and I'm looking forward to a fruitful future. What a great picture there. Manasseh. Now, some of you need to have a Manasseh. Some of you need to take your past and you need to say, I'm going to forget. Hey, Brother Sheldon, I got a question about this whole forgetting thing. So, like, do you actually forget? I mean, did Joseph forget that he had 11 brothers? Did Joseph forget about being thrown in a pit? Did Joseph forget about Potiphar's wife? I mean, like, does he not know that? Did he like have amnesia or something? No. Here's what it means. I am no longer their judge. I am no longer the prosecuting attorney. I am no longer the jury. I am no longer the witness. I am no longer the judge. God, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Lord, they're in your hands. I'm not going to take record of them anymore. I'm not going to keep an account of them anymore. Lord, I'm going to have a Manasseh. And I am not going to live there anymore. Now you hear this because this may be one of the most important statements you'll hear in this lesson. The longer I live, this isn't just a cute little ditty. I mean this. The longer I live, I'm 61. The longer I live, the more I believe this is true. It's not what you remember in life that matters. It's what you decide to forget that really matters. Now you hear what I just said. It's not about what you remember in life. It's what you decide to forget that really matters. I got to tell you, I've visited many in nursing homes. I've visited many of old people in nursing homes, and I've come to a conclusion. There are two kinds of people in nursing homes. Grumpy, old, grumpy old people, and really happy old people. And you know the difference? The grumpy old people remember everything, and the happy people can't remember a thing. I am telling you, I visit many nursing homes. I visit the same people. I can preach the same message every week. The grumpy old ones need to hear it again. And the happy one, they don't remember it from the week before. I think there's more truth to that than you realize, friend. I have found it's not what we remember about our life. It's what we decided to forget that really matters. Years ago, I was speaking at the Bill Rice Ranch. It was a Thursday night. And for whatever reason, they didn't get together. But for whatever reason, there were seven past teenagers that I used to have in my youth group that came that night. They were all married. They all had kids. And they all came that night. And they said, hey, Aaron, what are you doing here? Don, what are you doing here? And oh, they were all in there. And they all came to hear me preach that night. And oh, that was such a blessing. After the service was over, we went down to a place called Cowboy Town, and I bought them all ice cream and all their kids and all their spouses, and I bought them everybody ice cream. And while we were down there, we got our picture taken, and we were doing all kinds of stuff. We started talking about old times in the youth group, and it was amazing. Hey, Pastor Scheller, do you remember the time that we did that Chinese fire drill, and some of them ran out into the woods, and we couldn't find them, and you were so upset, and you know, I said, I don't remember that. Hey, Dr. Scheller, Pastor Scheller, do you remember the food fight that we had up at Camp Koania, and you just came in and you were blistering up? I said, I don't remember that. I don't remember. Oh, you remember the night you came in the cabin? You opened the door and you hit Dave Stone right in the head with the door because he was out of bed and you were really mad. I said, I don't remember that. I went back, I'm telling you, for 45 minutes, they told me story after story I didn't remember. I went back to my cabin that night, and I was thinking to myself, wow, man alive, I'm getting old. I can't remember any of this stuff. And then I thought to myself, Pastor, I'm glad I didn't remember that stuff. Had I remembered all that stuff, I probably wouldn't be in the ministry today. Hey, you know what? It's not what you remember that matters. It's what you decide to forget. Some of you need to move on and have a Manasseh because you're living in the past and you can't move on. There's no joy. There's nothing. Let me give you one more here. We got to get going here. So you cannot change the past. Go with where you are. Go with what you have. Go with why you're here. You can't change the past. Move on from here. Number five, this is my favorite point. And as I deal with more and more people that cannot move on from their past, this, I think, is the biggest thing they got to get a hold of. You become the focus instead of God. You become the focus of the hurt instead of God becoming the focus of the healing. Now, I think this is really interesting. People that cannot move on from their past, they're the focus. I've been hurt. I was hurt. This happened to me. This, my relative did this to me, and this occurred, and my former spouse did this to me. And if you're living in the past, you become the focus of the hurt instead of Christ becoming the focus of the healing. And when you put Christ, when you start moving forward, it's Christ that did this. Christ healed me. My past is under the blood. Those people that did that to me, they're under the blood. By the way, can I just tell you this? Nobody on this planet will ever do anything to you that is worse than what you did to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ was willing to forgive you, you can forgive anybody what they did. Because the basis of our forgiveness is what Christ did for us. And there is no way, no one will ever do to you what you did to Jesus Christ. You become the focus of the hurt instead of God being the focus of the healing. Well, Brother Shetler, that's all good. So now I know why I shouldn't go to a bad past. But what do I do with my past? Let me give you five ways to use your past for God's glory. I love this. Let me give you five things that you can do to use your past. Number one, get your past in the past. Get your past in the past. Okay, that was before. They get it in the past. Number two, let your past motivate you to future victory. Let your past motivate you to future victory. Let me give you two completely different illustrations of this one point. This is really good. Let your past motivate you to future victory. There's a young man, he's 16 years old, he's down in the Valley of Elah. He brought some bread and cheese to his brothers and to the army. His dad told him to do it. And he arrives, and the day that he arrives, a 9'6" giant comes down into the valley and defies the God of Israel. And a young man, about 16 years of age, looks to his brothers and say, hey guys, Eliab, you going down and getting him? You going to go get that Goliath guy? They go, oh, what did you, hey, by the way, who's taking care of the sheep back there and everything like that? What are you doing here, David? What are you doing? Are you going to go down and get him, man? Finally, he comes to Saul, the king, and he says, King Saul, I'll go defeat Goliath. You're but a youth. Have you ever thought this out? On what basis does David believe that he's going to defeat Goliath? Because he's on God's side. No, it is not. What is the basis that David knows that he's going to defeat Goliath? King Saul, there was a lion that came in one time into my father's sheep. By the way, stop here. Little aside, but this is unbelievable. Okay, if I'm taking care of my dad's sheep and a lion comes in and takes one of the lambs out, I go home that night and I say, hey, Dad, we lost one of the sheep. A lion took it. Oh, I'm sorry. A bear comes into my dad's sheep? And I did my best to take care of the sheep, but a bear comes in. What can I do? A bear got a hold of one of Dad's sheep. I come home and say, Dad, we lost two sheep. I'm telling you, Dad, the bear was huge. Okay, I'm sorry, but if a lion's coming into my dad's sheep, bye-bye lamb. Not David. Not David. And do you think that wasn't, God didn't notice that? And that was in his private life. And by the way, you'll never have public victory until you have private victory in your own life. But he stands before King Saul and he says, sir, I'll take care of that Goliath guy. You're but a youth. Well, I got a lion under my belt and I got a bear under my belt. And I'm just telling you, both the lion and the bear are a lot more vicious than that guy down there. That's nothing. Do you see what David did? David took his past to give him victory for the future. That's a good thing to do. Some of you do have some great victories. Don't live in those victories. Use those victories to motivate you for the future. But some of you are sitting here and going like, well, let me tell you something, Brother Shetler. That ain't what I got in my past. Man, I got some bad stuff. Okay, use that to motivate you for the future. My wife and I are walking across campus. We're dating. We're not married. And we're dating. We're both seniors in college. And we're going across campus. And Marilee's as quiet as anything. I think I told the story on Friday. Marilee's not saying a word. And I stop her and I said, honey, what's wrong? We're just dating. But we've been dating for a while. I'm thinking, this is not my maybe baby. This is my baby. I'm thinking of marrying this girl, you know. But she's not saying nothing. So we walk a little bit further, and she doesn't say anything. And I get in front of her, and I said, Marilee, what is wrong? And Marilee, she says, I don't think that we can continue on this relationship. Whoa, what's going on? Is there another guy? What's going on? I said, Marilee, why? What's happened? Is there a guy? No, there's not another guy. Marilee, why don't you think, well, I don't think I can marry you. Why don't you think you can marry me? You know. No, I don't. Your family. My what? Your family. You know, your mom and dad. Really, I'm sorry. My wife comes, she's a missionary kid. Her folks have been missionaries to the Jewish people for over 60 years, and they've lived in Israel on a kibbutz for over 40 years. She's got a great family. Her mom and dad are just solid believers. And she says, well, you know, your mom and dad got a divorce. Yeah? Well, I'm just thinking, if your mom and dad got a divorce, maybe you're going to get a divorce. Oh, boy, no, I can't say nothing. We walk for about another 5 minutes back to the dorms. And we get to the door. And I open up the door. And I haven't said anything for 5 minutes. And I open up the door and I say, you know, Marilee, I don't know if we're ever going to marry. But I will tell you this. You don't know what I went through as a kid. But I'm going to tell you this. Whoever I marry, I don't want to have what my mom and dad had. I don't want to have a marriage like that. I don't ever want to be a dad like the dad I had. I don't think I was bitter at him, but I didn't want to be like my dad. And I told Marilee, I said, honey, because of what I've gone through, I never want to get a divorce. And I want to be a husband. And I want to be a father that I never had. And she walked in. I said, Lord, I don't know. To me, I look at my past as a motivator to live for you in the future. Later on, Marilee talked to me and she said, you know, Jim, I absolutely believe that your past could actually help you be the husband and father that you never had. Now, this is by the grace of God, and believe you me, I'm not the husband that I thought I would be, nor the father, but I am telling you this. I am sure not the father or the husband that I saw as an example. And my parents actually motivated me to be the husband and father that God wanted me to be. I want to tell you this. If you got a bad past, use it to motivate you to victory in the future. If you got a good past, use it to motivate you for victory in the future. Use your past. A couple more things and we're done. Remember the... Okay, now, if I only had 5 minutes with you and we were talking about the past, here's what I would say for 3 and 4. There are only 2 times I can understand in the Bible that you should ever go to your past. There's only 2 times I can ever see in the Word of God why you should go to your past. Here they are. Number 1, to remember the love of God He has shown you. And number 2, to remember the lessons He has taught you. The only 2 times I know of to go into the past is to remember the you and the lessons He's taught you. Everything else is no trespassing. Don't you go there, man. Don't you go to the past unless it is to remember the love God has shown you or the lessons God has taught you. Everything else in your past is no trespassing. You don't ever need to go there again for the love. And the love is the memorials. So when they crossed the Jordan River, they put these memorials. They put all these stones up. What's the stones for? So that the children will come in later time and say, hey, this is where God did a great work here. And they got these altars all over the place, these memorials. The memorials are to remember the love of God. And then you're supposed to remember the lessons. And number 5, and we're done. Allow your past to be a part of your present testimony. I love this. As in closing, you're in Isaiah maybe still. Would you take your Bibles and turn over to Jeremiah for just a moment? Jeremiah chapter 18. Pastor, this is the verse that's quoted in my office more than any other verse. Now, the 2 verses that are said the most in my office is James 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I don't ever deal with anybody that I don't pray that. Man, I'm praying that constantly. Lord, if any man lack wisdom, that would be me. Let him ask of God. And I love it that he never chides us. He never gets upset for asking if we ask in faith. So James 5, I'm praying every time a person comes into my office. Lord, if any man lack wisdom, that's me. God, please give me the wisdom. But I'm going to tell you the verse I give out the most. Jeremiah 18 and verse 4. You know, it's hard to believe that a college student at 19 years of age have got stuff in their past that's just trash. Man, I have 22-year-olds come in and I cannot believe what they got in their past. And there's things that they have done that they think, you know, I'll never be able to serve God. And I take them over to Jeremiah chapter 18 and I just love verse 4. This is the most quoted verse in my office in counseling. Jeremiah 18, 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Hey, come on. Every person in this room has been marred by sin. I don't care if you're a teenager and I don't care if you're a senior saint. Every one of us have been marred. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. By the way, notice where the vessel was when it was marred. In the hand of the potter. There have been times in my life that I have been out of the will of God, but I am so thankful I've never been out of the hands of God. Man, I got to tell you, there's been times I've been out of his will. I'm sorry. But there has never been a time I've been out of the hands of God. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So what did he do? I love this. So he made it again, another vessel. God finds joy in making again another vessel. Yeah, but you know, Brother Shetler, it's not like the first one. No, it's better. Look what it says. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Well, you know, Brother Shetler, if you sin, there's consequences. Oh, tell me about it. You're looking at a guy that knows about consequences of sin. But I'm going to tell you this. God's perfect will is not a vocation or a location. You know, Brother Shetler, because of the sin in their past, they're never going to be able to hold this position. God's will isn't about a position. You know, because of their sin in the past, they're never going to be able to do this. No, but that's not what God's will is. God's will is a relationship. I know people in prison that have committed crimes and sins, and they're in prison, and you know what? They are in the perfect will of God right now in their lives. Matter of fact, they came to know God while they were in prison. I have met people in prison in the perfect will of God. Well, no, that's kind of God's permissive will. Then you don't understand. The perfect will of God is not a position, a location, or an activity, or an achievement. The perfect will of God is a relationship. And when you come back to God, you can be in the perfect will of God no matter what's happened in your life. There isn't anybody in this room that cannot be in the perfect will of God. Oh, you don't know my past. No, no. You don't understand Christ's blood. You don't understand Christ's forgiveness. But Brother Shetler, there's consequences. Oh, yeah, that's my point. God will take the consequences of your sin and make it a part of your vessel. I'm not sure I understand this. Here's what I'm saying. I know people that have given testimony that are incredible trophies of God's grace. Because of what has happened in their life, and they got their past taken care of, they've received forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now, a part of their life is what did happen. Now, I don't think you ought to live there all the time. We don't need to hear the graphic stories of your past. But we have people, I would imagine, in Buffalo Ridge that could stand right now and say, hey, let me tell you something. God made again another vessel in my life. I'm not the same person. God got a hold of my life. Man, it was when I was in the military and God got a hold of my life. It was when this happened. It was after a divorce. God got a hold of my life and oh, what he has done in my life. And yeah, that past is a part. But that just shows to the trophy and to the God's glory and to his grace. Don't live in the past. So I stood there in that rental car. I sat there in that rental car and I looked at the house I'd lived in for 14 years. I remembered everything. And I didn't hear a voice in the car. But in from the recesses of my mind and my heart, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or me. I don't know, but I heard so clearly. Hey, Jim, you don't live there anymore. Let's go. And I drove up to Camp Kobiak and had a week of revival like no business. Because you know what? I'm not living in the past. I'm going forward. Thank God for the victories of the past. Thank God for the lessons I've learned. Thank God for the love that he's shown. I want to go back to Memorial. Some days I get a little discouraged and I remember a memorial. But I'm not living there anymore. And folks, some of you need to deal with your past. Some of you got a great past, and you're still stuck there. Hey, talk about past of churches. Wow. Does this church have a past? But can I tell you, you don't live there anymore. Buffalo Ridge can't look to their past. Buffalo Ridge has got to go forward. And so does every person in this church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask a couple things. Number one, how many here would say with an upraised hand, Brother Shetler, my past is under the blood of Jesus Christ because I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. I've asked Christ to come into my heart and my past is taken care of. I'll never experience the punishment of my past of what I deserve because of what Christ did. Matter of fact, Brother Shetler, he didn't only die for my past sins, he died for my present sins and my future sins. I know Jesus as my Savior, and my past is under the blood of Christ. If that's true, could you lift up your hand all over as a testimony to God? Wow! Praise God! Folks, do you realize that most people in the world do not have the joy of knowing what it is to have their sins forgiven from the past? Every one of you that just raised your hand, come on, man! You ought to live like your past is under the blood. But maybe there's someone here that couldn't raise their hand and they would say, oh, Jim, if I could just start all over again. He can do a new thing, friend. If I could just start all over again, oh, I would give anything. You can. Jesus Christ heals the past. Is there somebody here this morning that would say, I've never received Christ, I need to have my sins forgiven, and I excuse me, and I need to get my sins under the blood of Christ? Jim, I need to trust Christ this morning as my Savior. If that's true, could you lift up your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Let's deal with the past. You've never trusted Christ. All right, let me ask another question. How many Christians here, we're not going to have a come down front invitation right now, but how many of you would say in this auditorium right now, Brother Shetler, I need a Manasseh. I need to have a Manasseh. I need to move on. It is not what you remember in life. It's what you decide to forget. And some of you have things in your life you cannot move on. Man, you need to deal with it today. You're going nowhere, friend. Start going forward for God, and you need to get it taken care of. You either need to forgive someone or you need to forget something you did. Quit beating yourself up and quit beating somebody else up in your past. How many of you would say this morning, God spoke to my heart, I need to have a Manasseh right now in my seat, April 22nd, 2018, at my church, right here in this seat, right now, I'm having a Manasseh. And it's staying right here. God spoke to my heart. Would you lift up your hand all over the auditorium? Amen. Amen. That's great. That's great. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you something. If you don't deal with your past, you're never going to go into the future. Father, for every one of those that just raised their hand, I pray that today would be a day of deliverance, that their Manasseh would happen, and they would decide to forget. I'm going forward. For the rest of us, Lord, may we never go to our past unless it's the love that you gave to us or a lesson we need to always remember. Lord, may it be no trespassing, everything else. Father, help us not to live in the past because we don't live there anymore. Help us to be victorious in the future by what you've done and what you're going to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, thank you very much. You listen great.